Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Now,
I want them to hear it, our Savior's down the road, you know, at the other Methodist church. So we almost got there, I think. I think I'm going to get a call from their pastor. What are you guys doing down there? Good morning. It's great to have you here. Magandu umaga, namaste, and buenos dias. It's great to have you here on this Sunday morning as we celebrate and remember Easter. And do more than celebrate and remember, but really talk about what that has to do with our hearts and our lives. What does this story have to do with us? You know, we come this day to celebrate, and we know all over the world, in languages some of us know here that are not our own, people will be saying Christ is risen. And in languages all over the world, where some languages we probably have never even heard of, they're still saying Christ the Lord is risen today. In sanctuaries holding tens of thousands of people, they're saying the same thing. And in small circles of Christians, sometimes in underground churches, they're saying Christ is risen. And we all say He is risen indeed. What is this about us? We know that in our life, we want to be part of that new life that Christ offers us. And pastors and priests and choir directors all over the world have been planning for hours. Planning. Hey, what are you doing here? Hey, this is the, hey.
We're way behind schedule here.
What are you doing? This is Easter. We're in the middle of the service.
I know it's Easter Sunday. That's why we're here. We were sent here. We got a work order to get this in place, all these preparations for service. Come on, Sid. Back it up. Let's go. We're way behind schedule. I can tell we're going to have a problem with this guy with a funny dress on.
Dress? This is my robe and stole. These are the... Well, never mind that. What are you doing here?
I have my orders to prepare this area for Easter.
But we're right in the middle of it now. We've already started.
Listen, you Mr. N. Sharp calls it church guy. I was sent here with written orders that need to be put into place to make this place perfect. Come on, Sid, let's go.
Hey, back it up, man. There's got to be some kind of misunderstanding. We've already started. Look at all these people here.
You know, you're really in the way here. Now, I have a schedule to stick to, so come on, Sid, let's go. Let's keep going. You got it, Mac.
No. This can't be. This has got to be a misunderstanding. You need to leave. Look, they're all here ready to go.
Look, it's Easter. I understand this is the most important time of the year for Christians. That's why I gotta put this plan into place, right? Right, Sid?
Right.
Okay, let's go and start preparing, sticking to the plan. First, we're gonna put a voice synthesizer in the ceiling, so in case anybody sings a wrong note, choir excluded, of course. It'll pick it up and make the perfect pitch.
What?
Oh, and we're gonna put in this special fertilizing system. So that when you sing, Christ the Lord is risen today, it'll be perfect.
We already sang that.
Well, here's the best part. We're going to put in a neural correctional device in the pastor's brain. So all that stuff that's banging around up there will all be taken and put into a perfect message for Easter.
Now listen here. Did you know they don't have to sing a perfect pitch and perfect song for it to be Easter?
No.
And did you know these don't have to be perfect colors with a perfect fertilizer system, whatever that's going to be, for us to celebrate resurrection?
No.
And did you know, although this pastor excluded, the pastor doesn't have to give a perfect sermon for us to know resurrection in Jesus Christ?
No. So, you don't want
me to... I don't.
And you don't want me to...
Oh, no. Oh, I got enough trouble up here anyway. Absolutely not. A big thank you to our Book of Acts team. They do a wonderful job with us on a lot of things, but just to prepare us today. You know, those guys, preparation, but perfect Easter, right? Your voices, they fix that, the colors would be fine, and the boring stories, although I know there's nothing boring in here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much. I was really afraid of what you were going to say there. Plan, perfect plan. You know, we do plan a lot. We planned a lot for this week, and we plan for every Sunday. Nothing wrong with planning. You plan for your future. You plan for your retirement. You plan a lot of things for your children. Nothing wrong with planning. We all do it. But I wonder sometimes if we think we've got to get the plan in set. We've got to be in control, if you will. We've got to get it just right until we move forward in our life of love and grace. We need to plan it all out. And sometimes I wonder if we're not like Super Boy Scouts, you know? You gotta be prepared. But so much in life isn't that way. I mean, we want to be prepared, but sometimes things just happen. And we need to be open and ready to receive things, especially during those in the last month, as we've been preparing ourselves for Easter in the season of Lent, we've talked about what it means for us to be a desert walker, not a mountain climber. We do a lot of mountain climbing in our life. We set goals. We set summits. We need to achieve that summit and get there. We do that a lot, and that's a good thing. But a lot of life is like traveling in the desert. You're asleep one night, the wind comes, and you wake up, and look, it's different. And so where's your plan then? You can't go the same way. Things change, and if you're not ready for that, how do we deal with life in that way? And think about, there's so much in our life we can't be ready or prepared for. You know, I have three children. And when we were about to have our first child, we planned, you know. We got the nursery all ready, and we read books on what to do, and we went to classes, and we learned how to breathe, you know. You know about that, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. We did a lot of planning, and we researched diapers and formula and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't ready to change those diapers. I don't know about you, or get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or anything like that. But I do remember the birth of our first son, January 26, 1988. And I remember going into Illinois Masonic Hospital, and we were there all night, you know, 14, 16 hours of labor. And let me tell you, after that, I was tired. I was exhausted. Up all night, whew, and I wasn't prepared for that, but then our son was born. The nurse took him and put him in the table with the light and all. They did all whatever they do over there. Wrapped him in a blanket, and when they put him in my arms, I was not ready for that touch of love and grace and literally new life that was given to me and my wife. I mean, I had tears well up in me, and I don't do that. But I wasn't prepared for that. But I think I was ready. Our second son was born. You know, we'd been through it. We did a lot of preparation and labor. I think it was about 10 to 12 hours. And I was really tired after that, too, I want you to know. And I thought I'd been there. And they put my second son in my arms wrapped up. And again, there was this sense of love and grace that just, I mean, just took off. I couldn't prepare for that. It was just such a gift. And then a third son, and I think labor was about 6 hours then. And still, I was really tired. And y'all know I'm really, really in trouble when I go home today, too, right? So, gentlemen, pray for me. That's all I'm asking. But even a third time, when they put our third son in my arms, and then when our other two gathered around, that sense of receiving that thing that you cannot plan for. You just have to receive. And so much of our life we want to plan for. And sometimes in our plans, we're not seeing or knowing or open to receive that grace and that new life God wants to offer us. Some things you can't prepare for. At the end of February of 1992, I went home to see my father, who had a life-threatening illness. And I saw him, and I realized that it was not going to be long, and I came back and took a few weeks off from the church, and we went back as a family to see him. And then I remember coming home March 7th of 92 in the evening, and I remember somebody, and I don't remember who now, and my family coming up the steps and say, Dad passed away. And you know, we had made plans. We'd done paperwork. We talked about what's Mom going to do. We had done a lot of plans, but you're not ready for that. You're not ready for that. But also, I wasn't ready for Mom's church, the church I was born into, to descend upon us like a flock of loving geese to just put love and grace upon us and lift us when we need to be lifted. I wasn't prepared for even my young kids and my wife and my family to turn their love towards me in that time that was difficult. I was not prepared for the Church of Cary that I was serving at the time to really take me aside as their pastor, the one who had done their funerals, and love on me with that, or my clergy friends. I was not prepared for them to love and to lift me in the ways of grace. I was not prepared for my father's friends to come to the funeral and say, "Did you know how when your dad farmed, how good a farmer he was? And when he was a machinist, how good he cut steel?" I was not prepared to receive that grace and have those wonderful memories and to be lifted out of that. I wasn't prepared for that. And if I tried to plan that, I probably would have missed that grace. I probably would have missed that. Life happens, and sometimes we need to be ready, not prepared. We need to be ready to receive the love and the grace of God, however that comes. Because it will come. It will come. A gentleman named Andrew DeVries tells a story about his life. Mr. DeVries is a motorcycle rider. I don't know if there are any motorcycle riders here. But he tells a story about, and he loved motorcycles, and one day he was riding and he laid his bike down. You know, he went down with it. Broke his leg. Went to the hospital and the doctor said, "You know, you just didn't break your leg. You crushed it. You mangled it." And so they did surgery after surgery to repair it and finally he found himself in the hospital and the doctors came in and they said, "You know, we've done all we can. It's in such bad shape, and there's really no circulation that we can find. We need to take your leg off if you're going to live, from the thigh down." How would you take that? Man, who's prepared? As he's laying in the hospital ready for that surgery, his nurse comes in, whose name is Sarah. Sarah talks to him and gets to know him a little bit. And finally, Sarah, as they're talking about what he likes to do in a little bit, Sarah asks him, he said, "What, you know..." He told her that for some reason that he liked to play golf. And she said, "Well, what kind of golf balls do you prefer?" He thought that was a strange question, but he told her anyway. He said, "I prefer Titleist Pro V1. She said, "Okay." Day of his surgery, he found on his table a huge bouquet of flowers. And in the middle of that bouquet was a 12-pack of Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. And he thought to himself, "How strange. I may never stand again. She's buying me golf balls." But he said, that strange question and that strange gift gave me a sense of hope for the future. That maybe. It pulled him out of his self-absorption. It pulled him out of feeling sorry for himself. Gave him hope in his future. He went to surgery. Obviously, they put him out for that. He woke up after surgery, and then as he woke up, he looked down at the end of the bed, and surprise, surprise, there's 10 toes. Doctor came in and said, "We found more circulation than we thought. There is some blood flowing. We tried to do some more repair, but we're going to see if you can walk again. We're going to see if you can work on it on your own." And he felt relieved about that. Sarah, his nurse, came to continue to minister and treat him, and they got to know each other. And Sarah shared with him that she had lost her father, and that she didn't have a father, and that he was gone. And they talked about their lives for a while, and then it came time for Mr. DeVries to leave the hospital. And Sarah came with a wheelchair and put him in the wheelchair and started carting him out. And then Sarah said to him, "Mr. DeVries, would you do me a favor? As I shared with you, I lost my father. And when it's time, when I get married, would you walk me down the aisle?" And he knew her, and he said, "Sarah, you don't even have a boyfriend." "And I'm not sure I'll walk again." And Sarah said, "Would you promise to walk me down the aisle?" He did rehab. He learned to walk. And some time after that, he got a call. And Sarah said, "I've got a boyfriend, and we're engaged. Would you walk me down the aisle?" And he said yes. We come to Easter, not perfectly planned or perfect people. We come to Easter with struggles and difficulties in our life. We come to Easter sometimes crippled and hobbled by our own sin, by our own inability to love ourselves or love others or to love God, we come to Easter in that kind of way, and we have a Savior, we have a Messiah, we have a Jesus that sidles up to us and says, you know, there is new life. And I tell you what, Jesus says to us, would you walk me down the aisle? Because there's new life. You don't have to be stuck in that kind of life. Sure, there you may have difficulties and struggles, and even you may have loss in your life. But I love you, and I want you to have new life in love and grace. There are times in our life when we feel like we're just hanging on to a rope that's being cut or frayed and about to break, and it's going to be over. Life's going to crash down. And Jesus says, would you walk me down the aisle? There's times when there's a flood of stuff that seems to come over us and we don't know what to do. You know, and sometimes a friend or a family member or somebody in our community or even the Spirit of God will come to us like Jesus and says, would you walk me down the aisle? Because there's new life in front. Come with me. And sometimes even our own mistakes and brokenness. How could I ever make that up? How could I ever fix that? And the answer often is you can't. But in Christ's forgiveness and Christ's love, Jesus says, would you walk me down the aisle? Because I want to go with you to new life. So today on Easter, we come to receive some symbols. We come to receive bread that was broken to let us know that God in Jesus Christ loved us. We come and receive a cup about the new forgiveness, this new cup of forgiveness that we get through Christ's blood. And Christ says, you can begin anew. You can start anew and know the grace of God in who you are and what you do. So as we come forward this day, remember, whatever struggle you have, God is there to rescue us. God in my struggles is there to rescue me. God is there to pull me and to give me new life in love and grace. And are you willing to receive that? So as we come to receive this bread and this cup, give that piece of you. Unprepare your life. And be prepared to receive the grace of God in all of that Easter splendor. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for life and love and family, and especially for this Easter day. Especially we thank you for that opportunity you give us to begin anew. Loving God, touch us with that Spirit. Help us unprepare all that stuff that sometimes gets us in trouble. And in that, help us to be ready to walk with you in ways of love and grace. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.